Bibles, please open to the book of John, chapter 14. Good afternoon, welcome. Good to see each of you here tonight. Terror attacks and threats of terror attacks are spreading. Recently, a bomb planted by terrorists on a Russian airliner exploded over Egypt. And terrorists attacked and murdered and injured hundreds of people in Paris, France, Brussels, Belgium, and Beirut, Lebanon. We are living in troublesome times. We are living in uncertain times. Some nations don't get along with each other. Some individuals don't get along with each other. We are not living in peaceful times. There is peace that the world offers, and there is also a peace that Jesus offers. And I want to begin tonight by looking at the characteristics of the peace of the world. Three traits. Number one, it's external. It's based upon treaties. It's based upon signed papers. It's based upon handshakes. It's based upon promises. The history of the world shows that these signed papers, though, don't last very long. The treaties are broken. Wars start up. World War II was supposed to be the war that ended all wars, but it wasn't. The agreements forged out to end that war were broken just a few years later. The peace of the world is external. Secondly, the peace that the world offers is something that never lasts. There are brief moments of rest, to be sure, and we're thankful for those moments. But before long, someone invades another land, someone violates the national laws of another country, and troops are sent, and threats are made, and wars start. It's said that the old men make the war and the young men die in war. Maybe if the politicians who make the war went to fight in the war, there would be less war. Perhaps. But the peace that the world offers, it never lasts. Peace of the world is external. The peace of the world, the peace that the world offers and never lasts. And thirdly, it is always based upon two parties. One side can be genuine and honest, and the other side has their fingers crossed behind their backs, and they have no interest in settling any differences. And you know as well as I do, when a person's been around very long, that it's hard to have peace when dealing with some people. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, we read these words of Jesus. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I want us to consider the context of these words of Jesus here. It's taken from the long dialogue that Jesus had with his apostles before going to the cross. John chapters 14, 15, 16 are basically Jesus' farewell address to his apostles. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to teach those men and to remind those men of the things that Jesus said. John 14, verse 26, he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Accuracy in God's message is important. You know, most of us cannot remember accurately conversations and lessons that we've heard a few months ago, let alone 2 or 3 years ago. But the apostles had been with Jesus for 3 years. And those 3 years were filled with lessons, with teaching, with sermons, with examples. And the setting here in John 14 is that we have Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. He was going to leave them. He told them that repeatedly. He told them that they would be sent out to preach the message of Christ. Would they remember? Would they get it right? The Holy Spirit did come upon them, just like Jesus said He would. And where that begins is in Acts chapter 2. And from then on, the Holy Spirit guided those men into all truth, to complete and to fulfill the mission that God had for them. And in the face of the cross and the knowledge of His apostles, that His apostles would suffer persecution on His behalf, and He told them that ahead of time as well, Jesus offered peace to them. They needed to hear that. They needed to know that. He did not tell them that the scribes and the Pharisees and all other enemies of the cross would leave them alone, so that they could teach and live and worship without any disruptions at all. He didn't tell them that. He didn't promise them that. Instead, He told them in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. And He told them that they needed to follow Him, the true and living way, John 14 and verse 6. And that if they would do that, if they would love Him by keeping His commandments, if they would follow Him, the true and living way, they would have His peace that transcended any difficulties that they would face. They would have no reason to be afraid. They would have no reason to be troubled. This peace that Jesus gave them would surpass their ability to understand. As Paul later said in Philippians 4 and verse 7, concerning the peace of God, that it passes all understanding. Well, that's the setting of these comforting words of Jesus in John 14 and verse 27. What is peace? We need to know what peace is, of course, and obviously it's not just the absence of trouble. That's part of it. But it's a whole lot more than that. It's a state of harmony. It's a state of goodwill. It's not the absence of trouble. It's a state of harmony, at peace with ourselves, at peace with God, at peace with other people. Now we know from Romans chapter 12, Paul said, we're not always going to be at peace with all men, but we need to try to live that way. As much as lies within us, Paul said in Romans 12, be at peace with all men. Now peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, there's no trouble, there's no hardship, and there's no hard work. No, that's not peace. Peace means to be in the midst of all this noise, in the midst of all this trouble, in the midst of all this hard work, and still be calm in your heart. Let me tell you something. That's not easy. That's not an easy state of mind to get into. The natural inclination when there's noise and trouble and hard work is, whoa, I can't deal with this. I can't handle this. And a lot of times that's true. We can't. But the peace that Jesus offers is a calmness of heart that helps us deal with the troubles we experience, that helps us deal with the noise around us, and helps us deal with the hard work. That's what peace is. How do we get that? How do we have peace with God? Several things the Scriptures tells us about that. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 26 and look at a few verses in the Old Testament that help us deal with this point about how we can be at peace with God. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, one thing that we must do to be at peace with God is to have our mind set on God. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If we want to be at peace with God, that will come as a result of our trusting God no matter what. When we have our minds stayed on God, we have peace. Another thing that's essential to having peace with God is to love God's law and to keep God's commands. In the 119th Psalm and verse 165, it says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. In order for us to have peace with God, we've got to love God's law. And we also got to keep God's commands. Back in the book of Isaiah, this time in chapter 48 and in verse 18. It says, oh, that you heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Then in the book of Romans, in the New Testament, chapter 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do what God has said, when we love God's law, when we keep God's commands, then we can have the assurance that it is well with our soul. One of the hymns that we sing in our songbook is, it is well with my soul. That's one of my favorite hymns. We can have peace with God when we love God and keep His commands. And then thirdly, in order for us to be at peace with God, we've got to be spiritually minded. And we've got to continue in prayer. Staying in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Then in Philippians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known or be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. When we have our affections set on things above, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, and when we keep on praying to God, that won't eliminate our problems. That won't make our troubles disappear. But it'll surely help us cope with them. To have peace with God, we've got to set our minds on God. We've got to love God's law, keep His commands. We've got to be spiritually minded and continue in prayer. Now, let's go back to John chapter 14 and look at these words of Jesus again. John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In the 16th chapter and verse 33, at the end of his farewell address to his apostles, he told them, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, with those two verses in mind, John 14, verse 27, John 16, verse 33, let's talk a little bit about the peace of Christ. Elaborate on that a little bit more. As we've already suggested, by looking at the definition of the word peace, it does not consist in freedom from turmoil, freedom from suffering. It doesn't eliminate those things. But the peace of Christ is a calm, undeviating devotion to the will of God. Jesus found peace in doing the will of His Father. Even when he was on the verge of the cross, he had peace. The peace of Christ is not signed papers between nations promising not to bomb each other. That's not the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ involves a person, you and me and God. Because of sin, we've separated ourselves from God. Romans 3:23. We are at odds with God. We are enemies of God. There's enmity between us and God because of our sins. One of the words of salvation is the word reconciliation. The word concile, conciliatory, means peace. The prefix re means again. Reconciliation, put those two together. And God has made it possible for us to be at peace with Him again. The peace that was not there because of sin can be there again by doing what God says to be justified. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He came to bring us together. He came to bring peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Now, that doesn't mean, and Jesus didn't promise by that we would never have troubles in relationships when we make the decision to become Christians or live as Christians with other people. Sometimes he said that he came to bring a sword. And he knew that one's devotion to him could create havoc in relationships that we have with each other. But here he's talking about my peace. This peace is personal. This peace is intimate. This peace is about you and God. It's about a relationship between me and you and God. That's what it's about. It's about salvation. It's about reconciliation. It's about justification. It's about redemption. It's about forgiveness. It involves us and God. The peace of Christ is internal. It's about a relationship between us and God. It is built upon faith. It is built upon forgiveness. It is built upon love. It is built upon trust. A broken relationship is restored. Hope is promised. Goodness abounds. Our eternal destiny is changed because we are at peace with God. And all of that's been made possible because of Jesus. We could not be at peace with God without Jesus. The peace of Christ is internal. The peace of Christ is lasting. It's not affected by national news. It's not even affected by congregational peace. And it's not even affected by all the drama that we have in our families. None of these things that I've just mentioned alter the relationship that we can have with Christ. No one can alter this peace except we who refuse to walk with Jesus. It's a personal choice. It's about a relationship. It's up to you, and it's up to me. It's lasting. And finally, it changes us for the better. And this change affects and influences all other relationships that we have. Because we have peace with God, our character is molded to be like His. If we're in a marriage that's suffering, that's going through difficulties and disagreements and heartaches, having the peace of Christ can improve our marriages. It can improve our families. It can improve our relationship with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when we have this peace with Jesus, our attitude toward other people changes. It improves. And what it becomes is that it's less about self and more about serving. That's what the peace of Christ is. Grace and forgiveness are offered to others just as has been offered by God in Christ to us. This peace of Christ not only changes our relationship with Him, but it also changes our relationship for the better with other people. But you know where that all begins? It doesn't begin with you. It doesn't begin with me. It begins with God. That's where it begins. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Calm in an unsettled world. Hearts that are no longer troubled. A hope that is real, that's based upon God, it's based upon friendship with God. This peace is more important and it's greater than signed papers between national leaders. And you know, if everyone had this peace, the peace of Christ, there wouldn't be any wars. The reason that wars exist, whether between nations or in marriages or between co-workers, is because someone is not at peace with God. That's why. Peace with God can lead to peace with one another. Not always, but as Paul said in Romans 12. But it can. And until we start with God, there will always be war. External and internal. The greatest war, the greatest turmoil is what rages within our hearts. Living without God, facing death with God not as our friend, living without forgiveness, walking on our own without Christ. That's the greatest tragedy of all. That's the greatest war. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way with you. It doesn't have to be that way with me. Or with anyone. Jesus can give us His peace. He gave it to His apostles, yes, in John 14, verse 27, John 16, verse 33, but we can have that same peace. We can have the same peace that the apostles had. We need to live with peace. We need to know what peace is. And we need to share the peace of Christ with others. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Do you want that? You can have it tonight by becoming a Christian. And the way you do that is by hearing the gospel, believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in the Christ, and be baptized, be immersed in water, in the name of Christ, by His authority, for the remission of your sins. That's how you get to have peace with Christ initially. And you can continue to have that peace throughout your life by living faithfully. And where that all leads is to the most peaceful place, and that's heaven. Tonight, if as a child of God you had this peace at one time, but you don't have it now, and you've sinned, you need to repent of those wrongs. You need to confess those wrongs. You need to pray and ask God for forgiveness. You can have the peace of Christ again by doing what God says, to be pardon from your sins. Let us know of your desire to do either one of those things tonight, and we'd be happy to know about that and to assist you in helping to have that peace that passes all understanding, that can guard our souls. If you're subject tonight to the invitation of Christ, we invite you to come forward now while together we stand, while we sing.